Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome to the show, 909. I'm Andy Griffin. Thank you for being here on a Friday. You made it. Let me shake your hand. Good job. We're almost to the weekend. It's tantalizingly close. I'm Andy. Mello's there. Melody Finlinson. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
How you doing? Is that a peach sweater?
It's like a tangerine. I love it. Okay. I wear it with everything.
No, it's cute. I like it. Yeah.
Thank you.
So the glare is back. If we don't have sun, if it's cloud covered, I can see you really well through the glass. But when it's sunny like it is right now, there's a major glare. And so I'm kind of looking between all the reflections.
Right.
I think and that's why I said peach.
That's okay. I'll give it to you.
Yeah. So yesterday I talked with John Curtis yesterday afternoon and recorded the interview. I'm going to play it here in a second. It's about 10 minutes long. And, you know, John Curtis took over for Mitt Romney as a senator from the state of Utah. And I think sliding right into that spot, I think a lot of people are like, oh, he's a Mitt Romney type. He's a rhino. The impression I got, now I talked with him a little before the interview, then we did the interview, and I talked to him for a little while after the interview. And the impression I got was, you know, John Curtis is not the kind of guy that he's not defined by party lines. He's defined by his own personal set of beliefs. And I like that. And it might get him, some people could say Mitt Romney was like that, but I believe Mitt Romney was, I think he hated Trump and he let that shade everything that he did.
Yeah.
I don't think John Curtis hates Trump. I don't know that he's a particular Trump lover, but he does, I think, realize, you know, Donald Trump is what this country needs right now. And we talk about that during the interview. Now, I'm going to play this interview, but what I want folks to do, we have two pairs of tickets to Grand Funk Railroad tonight. Yeah, over at Tuacon. So I'm going to have you call in right now. Caller number, what do you want?
Let's do two.
Caller number two right now will win the first set of tickets. We have two pairs, so I'll give one away now. You can call, and Mello will talk to you. And caller number two, 673-5890, 673-5890, to win tickets to Grand Funk Railroad. Also, tomorrow I'll be at the Home Expo, the Spring Home Expo over at Dixie Center. I'm going to be giving away stuff there as well. Right now, let's do the interview. This is John Curtis and I yesterday afternoon. Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm here with John Curtis, the senator from the state of Utah, formerly a House of Representatives member, formerly a mayor of Provo. John, welcome. Thank you for coming.
So good to be with you.
That's fantastic having you here. I love that jacket, by the way. You're hitting home runs with that baby.
Well, just for your listeners, since they can't see it, we're going to say it's the best one in St. George.
It is. Oh, man. Well, I know you've been traveling all around the state a little bit. Tell us what you've been up to lately.
Well, you know, Leader Thune kept us in Washington, D.C. for 10 straight weeks. This is our first week out.
You're back
to the state. And so I want everybody to know this part of the state, this is where I came.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get down here and learn more about their issues and see what they were dealing with and how I can help them.
I know you. Now, you graduated from BYU, right?
I'm BYU grad.
All right. Love that. And mayor of Provo. Tell us about your time as mayor. How long ago was that? And what were some of your maybe fun experiences there?
Well, I served as mayor from 2010 to 2018.
Okay,
and
8 years.
Those that are familiar with Provo know that was just a prosperous time for Provo.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to be mayor. And we grew as a city. And our downtown flourished, and it was just a really fun era and something I actually, quite frankly, miss.
I lived in Provo. Let's see. I'm going to do the math. Well, it was a long time ago.
For school?
Yeah. My wife and I went to BYU for a while. We actually finished at Utah State because back then, BYU was more expensive than Utah State. Now, Utah State is more expensive than BYU.
Yeah, it's hard to get into BYU.
It is hard to get into. That's true.
But, you know, you mentioned that's where you met your wife. It was fun how many people we call it had their first in Provo, their first date, their first kiss. Yeah. Their first apartment,
yeah.
Right? So their first child.
Yeah.
We call it the city of first.
Yeah, absolutely. While you were mayor there, 8 years, obviously you had some pretty cool experiences. I thought it would be fun to talk about maybe some of the things you learned then that have made you part of who you are now.
I can't imagine doing what I'm doing without being mayor. As a matter of fact, if I had my way, everybody would have to be a mayor.
Yeah.
They'd also have to own a small business. If they did both of those things, this would be a better country before they came back to serve. But I can't tell you how incredibly helpful it is. So, for instance, I'm meeting with county commissioners a little later today, and I've been meeting with county commissioners coming down I-15. Mm-hmm. So many of their problems are, I can put on my mayor's hat. You know, if it's infrastructure, if it's water, and transportation. My experience as mayor has really made it easier for me to be helpful to them.
Now, going from the House of Representatives now to the Senate, tell us about the difference in what you're experiencing.
I got to tell you, it's nice. There's a reason people don't leave the Senate to run for the House, and they leave the House to run for the Senate. A lot of that comes from the six-year terms. I think everybody knows that two-year term is just
brutal. It's not very long.
Yeah, it's brutal, and you spend so much of your time on re-election. And the six-year term gives you the luxury of stepping away from that a little bit. The smaller body, 100 versus 435, is also very nice and a little bit easier to navigate and get things done. And I'm enjoying it. It's busy. As I mentioned, 10 straight weeks in D.C. before they gave us a week back here in the state.
So a lot of people say, well, okay, he's more moderate than far right, and I've been watching what you do, been doing, Senator, and it seems like you act on how you feel, you act on truth and honest. I don't know. I think that's refreshing in politics.
Well, thank you. You know, I push back on the term moderate because a moderate in Washington County is different than a moderate in Salt Lake County.
That's true, right? Very different.
Let alone in Boston, right? And I think I try really hard to align myself with those that voted for me. And that, as you can imagine, it's not easy, right? They're not all coming from the same place.
Absolutely.
But I think if people look at my record, they'll see a very, very conservative voting record. Sometimes the most conservative in the delegation. But I tend to talk about things in a tone that's a little bit more what people call moderate. And so I think a lot of people don't quite know what to do with me because of that.
And you make a good point. Moderate in every person's mind is a little bit different. In Washington County, we're super conservative here. And so what might be moderate here might be very far right, you know, somewhere like in Salt Lake County or whatever.
Exactly. And so, I think if I've done my job right, the people feel like I represent them, and you take those labels away and say, you know, does he represent how we feel down here in St. George?
Yeah, well said. I was reading some of what you were talking about with Elon Musk and Doge and the paring down of government. And I like what you said about you like what he's doing, but you also need to have a little heart in what you're doing.
Yeah, we know we need to make these cuts. We're spending too much money. We know that. And so I don't begrudge that at all. But there seems to be some callousness and some coldness in it that I don't think is necessary. As a matter of fact, it's hurtful. And so I know a lot of federal employees, you know, we've damaged morale for those that are staying. That's not helpful. Yeah. And so, yes, we do need to make these cuts. But I think we can be a little bit more sensitive. The day somebody loses their job could possibly be the worst day, if not in their life, in a very long time. Yeah. And just being more sensitive to that, I think, would go a long way.
Anybody who's ever lost a job knows exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly, yeah.
A report came out yesterday about the Democratic Party, and approval rating for the Democrat Party right now is 29%. As a former Democrat, I know it's a different party than it used to be, Senator. I had the Washington County, Chuck Good is his name, the Washington County Democrat Representative on, and I said, you were supposed to be the party of the people. Now, this was a couple of years ago, but it just seems like the Democrats keep shooting themselves in the foot.
For sure. Somebody once said to me, the best way to get rid of a bad policy is to enforce it to the fullest. And what they did is they took their bad policies and enforced them to the fullest, and the American people pushed back. And they were not good policies, and particularly when they were just full throttle in some of their policies. And so as a result, we have this runaway inflation, we have this wokeness, we have just places that America says, no, that's not us.
Yeah.
And I think the election last November spoke loud and clear that people were ready for something different. And interestingly, the Democrats have not figured out that they lost, and they lost big, right? And they're still doubling down, some of them, on these same bad policies that people push back against.
They can't seem to get it through their heads that maybe people aren't happy with the way they're acting right now.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Their policies. It's crazy. You know, I took a cruise a few years ago out of Texas. And it was neat. I felt like it was a real America cruise because there were moms and dads and grandpas and grandpas. It was a family thing. And I thought to myself, and being in radio, you hear all the extreme, and I'm sure you as a senator hear all the extremes, but I felt like this is real America. Real America is families, moms and dads and grandpas and kids and trying to do the right thing.
You know, when I won my election and went back to be sworn in, my wife and I actually drove back. We drove across the country. And I think all politicians should have to get in a car and drive across the country. And I saw exactly what you just described. They didn't care about politics. They cared about eggs being, you know, $5 a dozen. They didn't care about politics. They cared about what was happening at the border. And like, yes, I get it. That's politics. But to them, it's like, no, just fix these problems, right? Mm-hmm. Why can't you? And let us live our lives. Let us ranch. Let us farm. Let us do what we do best without having to worry about our government. And I'll tell you one fun thing, like almost every gas station, every vehicle was a truck. It's like,
I have
like,
a truck.
I know. And I have a truck. It's like, I really, don't you think we should just mandate every politician drive across the country and get a sense for what it really is?
Oh, that's an absolutely great idea. I love that. Do you feel like everyone I've talked to, Senator, that goes back to D.C. feels like there's a reinvigoration, an excitement, a new attitude about our country. Do you feel that too?
I do. And I think that even people who were leery of President Trump the first time are many of them, not all, many of them are saying, you know what, we do need some of this, what I would call disruptive nature that he brings. And good or bad, he brings it, right? And we knew that when we elected him. And I think, sadly, the system needs a shock right now. And for a long time, we've been promising to make these changes, and we haven't made them. And it just may take a Trump personality to plow through some of these changes.
And that's the hard thing. I think a lot of people who love policies, Donald Trump policies, are still struggling a little bit with his personality.
I think that's fair, yeah.
You know, if you can plow through that, maybe even put that aside a little bit and look at what he wants to do and what he's trying to do, I think we're in good hands, huh?
Listen, there's so much that he wants to do that we need done. Yeah. And I'll start with inflation and the border, right? I mean, there's just things that American people have very high expectations right now, and we need to get them done.
Do you feel like the Senate is in good hands as far as, like the federal government has long been known for, they don't have a budget. They just spend whatever they want. And yet here in Utah, we have a budget. We spend what we have, and that's it. Do you feel like the Senate understands that now?
More than any time in my 7 years, but I worry that it's still not enough. You know, as it gets more and more painful to cut. For instance, when they say we're not going to cut Medicare or Social Security, the math doesn't add up.
Yeah.
Right? If we're really going to eliminate a $2 trillion deficit. And so it is good to hear more than I've ever heard. I've never heard in my lifetime a president say he's going to balance a budget. President Trump said that.
Wow.
So it's great to hear. But we now need to make it happen.
Right.
And there's $2 trillion of spending that we got to figure out where that's going to come from.
Many a coach has said, we're going to win this game.
Yes.
But then they still have to explain how you're going to win the game,
that's
right?
That's a good analogy. Absolutely. A
little game plan there. Well, Senator Curtis, I know you've got a million things
Let's
going.
Do it again. My next trip, I'd love to chat with
you. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for coming on. It's great to talk to you.
Likewise. Thanks.
So what do you think of John Curtis? I'm asking listeners, but I'm also asking you, Mello. What did you, I mean, you weren't here. You weren't there for the interview, but you got to listen to him. What do you think?
Right. I got to listen. Am I on? I got to listen to the last part of it because I was on the phone for the first part. He seems like I can agree with some of the things he was saying as far as, like, DOGE is doing a good job. They are cutting things. But sometimes the chainsaw effect, you know, isn't super great for morale, and I can appreciate that.
Oh, you're
right. Those are real people, and yes, some of them are maybe a different leaning ideology than we may have, but they're still people, and you know, everybody deserves to be treated with respect and not just like, haha, we're cutting you kind of thing.
Oh, I agree. It's funny, I didn't bring it up during the interview, but one of the things he has said, he was on Face the Nation, and one of the things he said two or three times during that interview was, he said, America right now is experiencing a stop the car moment. And he went on to explain, if you were a kid or if you're a parent, you know what that means.
I do know what that
You know, means. You're traveling along and the kids are being just unruly and out of control and something needs to change. So you say, I'm going to stop this car right now. And they don't believe you. So you do. You stop the car. What happens when you stop the car usually?
Usually it's quiet.
It's very quiet.
They're like, oh, we're in big trouble.
They really did that? Yeah. I actually one time made my kid get out, my oldest son get out, because he was being such a jerk. Mm-hmm. I said, get out. He's like, no, we're in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we were out by I don't know, some state route in the middle of nowhere. I said, get out. He's like, what? I said, get out. You are no longer welcome in this car. Get out. And he's like,
are you going to leave me?
You can't do that. I'm your son. I'm like, get out. And so I yelled and told him to get, he got out of the car. I drove about 50 feet and then stopped and said, all right, get back in.
That's...
because I'm a pushover, but
you shouldn't leave him in the middle of nowhere anyway.
I know, but man, if you could have been there, he
but
was.
I have done a similar thing. I had a son that was always riling everybody else up
mm-hmm.
in the car. Mm-hmm. So we were about a block and a half away from home, and I made him get out and walk home.
Okay, that's not unreasonable.
Similar thing, yeah. But I didn't. Yeah, but he could get home.
I'm glad you made him walk home. That's good. I wonder if stop the car moments is what mm-hmm. he kept saying. I wonder if that has a lasting impact. I wonder if I were to ask my son, and I don't know the answer to this. I'm just wondering.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to ask him right now, do you remember that? Did it have any effect on you? Did it matter? Or, I mean, obviously mm-hmm. I was trying to teach him a lesson, and the lesson was his behavior was unacceptable
yes.
in the setting that we were in.
Mm-hmm.
Did it sink in? I don't know the answer to that. Did you talk to your son? Did it sink into him?
Yeah. So actually I did one better than that with the same son. So we lived on a military base and he would never put his seatbelt on ever. And
really?
I'm like, put your seatbelt on, Austin, put it on. And so I'm like, I'm going to stop and I'm going to talk to a cop about it and you're going to get in trouble.
Oh, I remember you told me the story once. Yeah.
So I did. I actually stopped at the guard gate. And I went over to the guards and I'm like, hey, I've got a kid that will not keep his seatbelt on. Could you just kind of like scare him a little bit? And they're like, sure. So open up, like he was bawling when I got out of the car, just like tears rolling down his face. He's probably like 11, just like
I'm
these
sorry,
tears.
I shouldn't laugh.
No, it's funny. And so the guy, I open up the back of the van, right, the back hatch. And all of a sudden he just like, he's looking straight forward and his tears just dry up. He's like, are you not wearing your seatbelt, son? He's like, no. And he's like, well, you be sure you need to put it on. I'm going to let you off this time, but you need to keep your seatbelt on, okay? Okay.
Wow.
And then he's like, oh, he let me off. I'm so glad he let me off.
How old was he at the time?
He was like about 11.
Okay. Old enough to know better, for sure.
So much old enough to know
old
better.
Old enough to know better.
Yeah.
So apparently, I don't know, maybe that's a misnomer, old enough to know better, because there was a town hall last night up in Salt Lake, up by the University of Utah. Celeste Malloy and Mike Kennedy, a couple of... representatives of the state of Utah that go back to Washington, D.C., and oh my gosh, there was about 300 people, and it started, they decided to start the meeting, a town hall, with an opening prayer, just a prayer to bless the meeting, would be calm and everything. Well, during the prayer, these people, who clearly not very religious people, started yelling and booing and mocking the prayer.
Really?
During the prayer. Right after the prayer, one of the candidates, or one of the, politicians, one of the representatives said, how many people are here to complain about President Trump and his policies and what's going on right now? And the reporter for Deseret News said probably 95% of the hands in the room went up at that point. And then Celeste Malloy said this. Let me see if I can find the exact quote. She said, I think in Utah, this is Celeste, I think in Utah we can have tough conversations. I hope we can set a high standard for the rest of the country on how we can talk about really hard issues without, freaking out. Well, yeah.
It didn't go that way?
It's funny because it got cheers. People were like, yeah, yeah. Well, some of them. And then within 5 minutes, it had descended into chaos. Cheers or yells of do your job and what do you think checks and balances are, and he should be impeached. And Mike Kennedy said, how do we determine that in a non-banana republic we actually go through processes? And it didn't work.
It didn't
These
go
people
well.
were so angry, and I guess the two representatives asked the university police, who were there keeping an eye on things, will you please remove people who are too unruly, people that are just yelling out of turn and just being, well,
disrespectful.
University police said, okay, we will, and then they didn't do anything at all. Yeah. So
did they leave early? Did they end early? What happened?
They tried to have the meeting for as long as they could, and after about an hour of mostly yelling and arguing, they said, all right, meeting's over, and that was that. And I hope Kennedy and Malloy had a security team with them to get them out of there, because these people were, you know, the criticism by a lot of the left with President Trump is not what he's doing, but how he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand that, right? Mm-hmm. But to then turn around and disrupt a town hall like that by screaming and talking out of turn, or to throw Molotov cocktails at a Tesla dealership, or like, to me, there's so much hypocrisy involved right now in our liberal left. And I'm like, how can you say a year ago they thought Tesla was the greatest thing on the planet and everyone should buy one and everyone should have an electric car? And now, because they don't like what Elon Musk is doing, they're bombing Tesla dealerships.
That's
these
so
same
outrageous
people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. And did you see that the three that were in trouble for, at least one of the ones that did the Molotov cocktails, was a transgender man?
Imagine that. What are the odds, right?
No, like all three of them looked like like those.
I saw this meme online, and it was basically, look, if we have a transgender selling Bud Light, we just stopped buying Bud Light.
Right.
And we let our pocketbooks do the talking.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't get your way, like if you don't like what Elon Musk is doing, instead of stop buying Teslas, you go and firebomb a Tesla dealership or fill in, you know, key a car or bullet holes in a Tesla at your neighbor's house. And it's just unbelievable how immature, I think, maybe is the best word for it.
Yeah.
I mean, we used to use that, you know, when you were 14 and you laughed at fart jokes, right? But now it's way beyond that. It's people who their whole lives have been given participation trophies and told by their parents, it's okay if you have this deviant behavior. It's fine. In fact, not only is it fine, I'll pay for you to have a surgery to mutilate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're acting out, and we're surprised. We shouldn't be.
Right.
We shouldn't be surprised at all.
The really good thing is that the Tesla cars have a camera. So a lot of these people that have been keying cars have been caught.
They're getting caught.
And they're upping the charges to terrorism.
Yeah, domestic terrorism.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I know you don't like conspiracy theories, but they are
here
linking,
we go.
They are linking George Soros funded program, I think Act Blue, or another one. I just read about it this morning. I can't remember the name. But that there's money going to these people to encourage that kind of behavior and to provide stuff. So it's backed by George Soros to attack at Elon through these people. But these people are getting 20 years. Like, really? Like, do the math. Don't do that.
Yeah. Well, and it's only a matter of time before they actually hurt people. It's bad that they're hurting cars. And you know, their complaint is he's costing people's jobs. Well, what do you think the people at the Tesla dealership are doing right now that their dealership is half burnt down?
Right. And those are American jobs.
Yeah.
They're
by the way, Teslas are made in America.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I want to buy a Tesla now.
Yeah, I almost want. I heard Sean Hannity's giving one away and buying one for himself, kind of as a protest to the protesters.
How do you enter for that? That's important information.
I believe, now I'm not 100% sure on this, but I believe you go to his website. You can enter once a day on his website, and you also, to qualify, you also have to pick up on a keyword that he mentions during his radio show. So you have to enter, but also have a keyword. I'm not 100% positive on that.
Okay.
But, and you know, people are going to want to look into that themselves. But the thing about it is if you buy a Tesla because you think you're going to save the planet, that ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you buy a Tesla because you like it and it's cool, go for it. Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't try to drive to Tennessee like DJ did in his Tesla.
Oh.
He had to stop 12 times to charge it between here and Tennessee, and each charge took at least an hour.
Oh, man.
So his 20-something hour drive turned into a 38-hour drive like that.
That's funny.
All right, we got to get a weather break in. More on the show. We're going to talk a little bit. Well, we got a couple of other things I want to bring up. I do want to mention before we go to break, tomorrow I will be at the St. George Home Expo at the Dixie Convention Center. Now, it starts today. You can actually go there today from noon to 8. I'm going to be there tomorrow 11 to 1, but it's open from 10 to 6 tomorrow, and also Sunday 11 to 4. And I'm going to have with me during that 2 hours, well, not the whole time, maybe if people collect them early, I'll have nights, two different night, one night stays for a couple at Eureka Casino Resort. Mm-hmm. And each one comes accompanied with a $25 food voucher.
Very nice.
So, yeah, I'll be giving those away at the Home Expo
Just come
tomorrow.
Talk to you and say, hey, I heard that
yeah,
on the radio.
That's all you have to do is say, are you Andy? I'll have my radio shirt on, and I'm a big guy. You can't miss me, right?
I'm 6'5".
Yeah, 6'5 and 300-plus pounds, so I'm a big dude. If you can't find me, that's your problem, not mine tomorrow between 11 and 1. But, yeah, tomorrow, St. George Home Expo, local contracts, all kinds of. If you've never been to one before, they're pretty cool. There's mm-hmm. so many. If you're thinking about, you know, as we come out of the winter and into the spring, you're thinking about making some upgrades or some changes to your house, this is a perfect place to go. I know my buddy from Advance, Joe, will be there from Advance Windows. I'm pretty sure Will Ducrest will be there with the monument company and my mm-hmm. monument, my death.
Oh my gosh, I want to take a picture of you in
yeah,
front
you
of it.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, take a picture of me in front of it. I actually have one I could forward
could
you.
Could you lay down in front of it? That'd
I'm not going to do that, no. No, I'm not going to. You'll throw dirt on top of me and then we'll both be in trouble. Yeah. So anyway, that's tomorrow, 11 to 1. Look forward to seeing you there. Right now, let's do the weather check.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, and thanks for being here today. I'm Andy. This is the Andy Griffin Show. Melody Finlinson is with me on this Friday, and it's open line day, Melody, so people can call and talk to you.
Yeah.
And Melody will screen your call to make sure you're not crazy.
But we did get a call. Remember Robert Sam?
Yeah, Rob. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he called to say thanks for the show last week for the Temptations. He really enjoyed it.
Nice. Coming up in somewhere between now and 9:50, I will be giving away our last two tickets to Grand Funk Railroad tonight. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned, and when I call for it, we'll take it. What caller did you decide on this time?
Let's do number, because I feel bad because everybody's calling so fast. Let's do caller number six. Give somebody else a chance.
Number six. Yeah. Okay, caller number six, but not now. In between now and 9:50, so in the next 10 minutes, we will be giving away the final two tickets to Grand Funk Railroad. Let's see. I was looking at I have their website right here. They have, their two biggest hits were An American Band. We're an American Band. You know the song? Mm-hmm. And Some Kind of Wonderful. Remember Some Kind of Wonderful? Some Kind of Wonderful. Yeah, so, mm-hmm. And I'm not doing them justice, right? Feeling All Right. Let's see, Foot Stomping Music, Inside Looking Out, Walk Like a Man.
Walk Like a Man.
Well, not that one. It's a different one.
Oh,
but yeah.
Okay.
A lot of closer to home. It's going to be a fun show tonight. I wish I could go. I can't go, but I can give away these last two tickets here in the next couple of minutes.
Fantastic. So. That'll be fun.
So we talked about the town hall and kind of the. I've been railing on this a little bit, but it seems like we've lost a lot of. I don't like the word decorum because it sounds like something really fancy.
I like that word.
I just think we've lost a lack of class in our society. Mm-hmm. People want to go up and yell at each other and stuff. And I'm just
they're really crass with their language.
Yeah.
Too.
Oh, man, the F word. And I just, what happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a story online. The website is lourockwell.com called Invasion of the Killer Karens. Now, for those that don't know what a Karen is almost always a woman. Although guys can be a Karen. What do they call those?
I call them Richards.
Richards, okay. Well, we won't go there. But basically, a Karen is someone who acts entitled and goes up, like, for instance, in a restaurant and tells with no uncertain terms. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I mean, we had the incident last year where a lady was telling another lady her shirt was too. This is Utah. You can't dress like that. She was being really.
Mm-hmm. She touched her too. She pulled her skirt.
Yeah, I think she got charged with that.
She did.
Right.
She lost her job too. Yeah.
And you know, there are minor Karens. You know, like I have a relative who sends her food back all the time. Like, every time. Like, this isn't hot. It drives me nuts. I'm like, it makes you kind of not want to go out with them when they do that every single time. They're major care. My kid deserves this. You need to do this for my child. If you don't do this for my child, I'm going to call the man. And then the manager comes and the manager's like, oh, I can't do it. And I don't, I'm going to call the owner. And yeah, you know.
Right. I'm going to go up the food chain here. Yeah.
One of the problems with condemning all Karens is sometimes they're a little bit right.
Right. Sometimes people need to act better and they need somebody to tell them sometimes.
Like I never send food back. I don't, I think, you know, they tried as best they could, but every once in a while, I'm talking maybe once a year, I'll get a piece of food and it is not what was described on the menu. Mm-hmm. And I have to go, you know, this needs to be fixed. There's something, you know, maybe, you know, you ask him to cook a steak and it's raw almost or whatever. So when we talk about Karens, sometimes I go, God, they're awful. But other times I go, she's a little bit right here on this one, right? You know, and even with the relative of mine that sends food back, a lot of times the complaint is, well, it's not hot. And and they're like, see, try this. And sure enough, it's cold. And I'm like, shouldn't you, if you go to a restaurant and order hot food, shouldn't it come out at least warm, right?
I know. And I have sent things back, but I don't do it regularly.
Right.
It's just that one-off time. But I was watching something this morning, and it said that if you are sending things back and you are complaining all the time, if you're flipping people off when you're driving, then you have other problems that are going to keep you from being successful because you're focusing on the minutiae.
Yeah, that's true.
And you really just need to if somebody, you order steak and they send you chicken, just enjoy the chicken. Like, it's going to be okay. It's not the end of the world.
Yesterday, I was turning off of Gateway goes on to Telegraph Red Cliffs, whatever it is. And then my dad lives over behind the mall, so I like to get over on the Mall Drive. So I'm always in the right lane when I'm turn, you know, that right left turn lane. some dude in a black, I don't know if it was a Honda or Nissan or whatever, black sedan, was in the far left lane. And I was actually a couple of cars back. So this what didn't happen to me, but I watched it all take place. He wanted to turn right, even though he was in the left lane, turning left, you know, onto Red Cliffs. He put his blinker on and then expected that all of us should just stop and let him in so he can go to the far right lane. And the car that was directly in front of me was like, screw that. I'm not letting you in. You can't just put your blinker on because you got in the wrong lane. And you can, you know, you can make a commentary on was he right? Was he wrong? Should he have let him in? All that. All I'm telling you is what I observed. He didn't let him in. He went past the guy. The guy then cut in front of me to get to the right lane in the black car. And guess what he brought out?
The finger
salute to the, not to me, but to the car that didn't let him in. He honked and flipped him off. And I'm just watching this thing going, why do you act that way? It's like you were saying that you get so caught up in this little teeny situation that really doesn't mean much at all. And you're letting it not only affect your mood, but apparently maybe you were trying to ruin that other person's day, too, because you flipped them off. And I just...
I know. There's a book I'm reading right now, and it's really good. It's called The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins.
Okay.
And it's really interesting because when you put yourself in the position, let them make that choice. And if they're going to be angry, that doesn't have to affect me. I can pull back and let somebody in. Like, I didn't... I've really been actively working on this because I'm like a Jekyll and Hyde in the car sometimes. So I've really actively been working on being a kinder driver.
Yeah.
And my husband's a good example. Like, he always is so nice and lets people in.
Which is strange because usually guys are super competitive and don't.
No, he's so cool. He's like, oh, yeah, chill. Just go, man. It's okay. And I'm like, why are you letting him in? So I've really been trying to do a better job. And if you just let them, like, and don't let that make you so angry. You can choose how you're going to react, and it doesn't have to be anger. Like, you just need to take that, like, 5 seconds, 10 seconds, just breathe, and then just, like, does that really matter?
Competitiveness, we want to win, and the other thing that I think the reason I have occasionally have a problem is I have a low tolerance for stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
And like this guy that was in the left lane, he was either very stupid or kind of devious and evil, one or the other. Mm-hmm. And either one of those things shouldn't be rewarded. And so in my mind, he was in that far left lane and wanted to go clearly within a half a block to the far right lane. And to me, that was either stupid that he got in the wrong lane or he was planning this all along to cut in front of us all.
Right. I think he was planning it because sometimes you have to get in that other lane to make that light.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I have done that and I have scooted over really quickly. So I feel bad because I have done the exact same thing, but I haven't cut people off and flipped them off. No.
Yeah, I don't know. And I know there are people listening right now that are going, Andy, you just don't get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. And I do have to work on my patience. But I'm not impatient with, I just am impatient with people that are not making smart decisions.
Right.
Especially if it endangers me or my family or my vehicle or whatever.
Right, your truck's your baby.
Yeah. No, my baby is my Mustang. I still have that Mustang.
You still have the Mustang?
Uh-huh. It's in my garage.
Oh, I didn't know that. You should drive it to work someday.
I used to be my daily driver. Oh. And then we got the company car. And after the company car, I went back to the Mustang until I got the truck. And that's where we're at now. So.
Okay.
But the Mustang's still there. I love that car. It's now to the situation where it's 19 years old. So it's starting to instead of, you know, even when you buy a nice car, it loses value the first 10 or 12 years. And then it starts to gain value again. And now it's back. The value of that car right now is about what I paid for it.
Really? I have an old truck too. I have a 1995 Toyota T100.
And okay. Is that the precursor to the Tundra,
mm-hmm.
I guess?
It is.
Okay.
It is. It's four-wheel drive. And
nice.
One thing I took in the divorce that I was happy to have. So I want to get it fixed up though one day.
Nice. You paid a big price for that, though.
Yeah.
So, all right. It's time now. Let's give away those final two tickets to Grand Funk Railroad. The concert is tonight at Tulacan, 8 o'clock. And caller number 6 wins that pair of tickets to go see Grand Funk Railroad tonight at Tulacan. Give us a call, 673-5890, 673-5890. And caller number 6 gets to go to the concert. We already have two winners, one yesterday, Richard, and Trace earlier in the program today. And we're going to get one more winner for a pair of tickets to see Grand Funk Railroad tonight. Give us a call.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 952 on KDXU. Let's go right to the phone. Brent wanted to come in on Mello's Let Them Theory. Brent, what's up?
Well, I learned a version of that from my older brother years ago when the best thing was to just shut up and let him be wrong.
Nice.
Brought a lot of peace in my life. No, I have not fully implemented it. I'm not ready to be translated. But regarding that black car, Occam's Razor also indicates that there's an equally plausible explanation. Even a local could forget about that right-hand, left-hand lane.
Okay.
Does not change the fact that the driver was a jerk.
All right.
Keep your mind open to the possibilities and even let them be a jerk. I let people waste gas and blow more smoke and all that kind of stuff all the time. So,
good words.
Just chill. Marahoochie is not necessary to chill.
Okay. Thank you, Brent. Appreciate it. Good words to live by. Keep your mouth shut and let them be wrong.
I like that. That makes me feel a little better, actually. I like that. Thanks, Brent.
Yeah, and he's probably right. Maybe there was a good reason he was in the wrong lane. Like you said, maybe he just, you know, there was a big lineup of cars turning off of Red Hills onto Gateway, and so he felt like, I got to go get in this other lane. But like he said, that doesn't change the fact that the guy was a jerk about it.
I know, you don't need to be so angry. And it is kind of like relaxing just to say, oh, I'm going to let them. I'm just going to let them. And they can just, and it's worked really well with my kids because I have a couple of kids that are a little frustrating to me sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh. I can just let them be like that and not get mad. It's okay.
By the way, we did give away tickets. So Richard, Anthony, and Trace are all taking, I assume, their sweethearts to the Grand Funk Railroad concert tonight.
Or their buddies, yeah.
Or their buddies, right? Mm-hmm. 8 o'clock tonight over at Tuacon. It should be a lot of fun. The weather should be fantastic. Oh, I figure 8 o'clock tonight is probably going to be about 63 degrees.
Yes.
And yeah, it's going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like, you know, this is weird about me, but I like going to these concerts where people come in or from Nashville or wherever they're from.
Mm-hmm.
And having them come do a concert, especially the ones that are here for the first time. I think it's the first time Grand Funk Railroad's been here. And just having them on stage and, you know, they're looking around at the red rocks.
It's gorgeous.
I mean, it's just like I'm proud of where I live. And I like to share it with them. And I think Lone Star, by the way, is coming in April to the county fair, Lone Star. And I have tickets to that. I'm looking forward to going to see them. No, I had to buy them.
Oh.
So if you want tickets, you're going to have to do like I did and actually pay for them.
Well, I am going to try and finagle some, so
okay.
I will let you know how that goes.
Okay.
Because my mother-in-law would like to go, so I'm trying to get some.
Okay. I like Lone Star.
That I do, song, too. I'm going to go,
song
too.
Amazed might be my favorite, one of my favorite
mm-hmm.
country songs of all times.
Yeah.
So. Maybe I'm amazed by you. So 5:50 or 9:55. Why did I say 5? 9:55 right now. again, March Madness today. 16 games today on the three TV networks, CBS, True TV, and TNT. Congratulations to BYU. They advanced by mm-hmm. winning yesterday. They play tomorrow at 5:45 against Wisconsin. Going to be a little tougher than Virginia Commonwealth.
Really,
they're going to be underdogs for sure in that game. But they've got a chance. I'm not writing them off because they've been playing pretty.
They've been doing great,
pretty well. The game start at 10:15 tomorrow, Mississippi State Baylor, and then go all the way till the last game is at 8:10 p.m. So what is that? 10 straight hours of basketball. Actually, it won't end till 10 p.m. So actually, 12 hours straight
Jeez.
Of basketball. So the last game is Oregon Liberty, I think Liberty's mascot is the American, the Liberty American. I think that's what it is. Something really patriotic. I kind of like
cool.
it. And their colors are red, white, and blue. Of course they are.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You should do that if
so,
you can.
We are almost out of time, Mello. I know you're going to road trip with your dad, and your dad is 81.
Yeah, he was going to try and go without me because I'm learning how to golf. So I'm in a golf
golfer. You bought into the whole, a lot of business gets done on the golf course.
It does.
Yeah,
so
okay.
I'm learning how to golf right now, and my classes are on Monday nights. So he was going to leave on Monday. I'm like, Dad, just wait one more day, and I can drive you.
Nice.
So we're going to go on Tuesday to Thursday to Arizona, go see my sister, go check out some properties, and have a good time.
Wow. Now, what part of Arizona are you going to?
I grew up in Cottonwood.
Which is
right by Sedona.
Oh,
right
okay.
by Sedona.
Sedona.
It's like 10 miles from Sedona.
Okay.
So we're going to go up there, see my sister, check out some stuff, and have some fun.
Nice. Well, again, I will be I'll be playing pickleball in the morning, but at 11, I'll be at the St. George Home Expo. I have, like I said, two things to give away. Each one is a night stay for two at Eureka Casino Resort and a $25 food voucher. I have two different sets of those.
So two people can win.
And so you might, now I'm going to warn you, probably someone's going to come up to me when I'm first there, like between 11 and 11:30, and a couple of people are going to come and I'm going to give those away. So if you think you can show up at 12:30 or 12:45 and I'm still going to have those, I probably won't. They'll probably be gone.
Mm-hmm.
So just come on over. The expo is today noon to 8, tomorrow 10 to 6, so I'll be there at 11. So it'll have been open an hour when I'm mm-hmm. there. I'm going to have my beautiful wife with me. And then it's also on Sunday, 11 to 4, the St. George Home Expo at the Dixie Convention Center.
Yeah. Last year, my brother got some Everlights from there.
Oh, yeah. Are those the ones that change color? Whatever mm-hmm. holiday you want, you change the color on them.
Yeah, and they're permanent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he got those installed last year with
them. The only problem I have with those is please keep them up, folks. I mean, I saw somebody with a green and red, like, last week. And I'm like... Okay, maybe you're supposed to do St. Patrick's, but you got to turn the red off if you're going to do St. Patrick's because that looks like Christmas to me, man. So I'm just saying, you know.
Right, yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I kind of like the magic of all the lights coming on in December.
That's true.
So
that's true.
But,
I've gotten to the point now where I don't want to put holes in my house, so I buy the little laser pointer things that shine things.
Oh,
in
you
house.
Do?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we do the ones that go on the gutters so they don't go in the house.
Nice. Okay. Well, we're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Mello, always appreciate your contributions. Congratulations again, Anthony, Richard, and Trace. Going to the concert tonight, Grand Funk Railroad. Should be a lot of fun. And we'll be back on Monday. Thanks, Mello.
Okay, thanks.